Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was here.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
As we broadcasting yesterday, thank God for you. Those of you who listen to us live and those who listen to us in the archives again, how we've been so blessed to know that you are there. I had my mic on mute, so those of you who are listening, I just thank God for you. I want to talk again to you today about the committed life. I'm pretty sure that maybe I'm just saying this again and repetitively. But my mic was on mute. I looked at my dashboard and couldn't find that it was on mute. But I'm so excited about what the Lord is doing concerning us in the committed life, and what this is bringing to us as a people of God, and especially in the body of Christ. As we share this, and the last thing that we talked about in the committed life, we were in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Did not get to the book of Romans, but we're going to just share out of the book of Romans just for a few minutes about the committed life. We want to say this about the committed life. That is that we ask the question, what is laying down your life? Or what is laying down the life? Living or dying? Let's say this today. Living or dying, that's the question. It's easier to die physically than to lay down your living life. I just want to say that one more time. It's easier for you and I to die physically than for us to lay down our living lives. And the reason for that is because we have so many people that are around us that we suffer with peer pressure. So we think, and let me explain what living is today, so we'll have a clear understanding about what living is. Living, as we know it, is not what we think about in this life. As a matter of fact, dying in this life is cessation of what we call life, or what we call not being able to function or exist. Actually, living is biblically shared as a person who is born again. Isn't that amazing? And so we had a cliche back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, that said we are in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. And that's right, friend. We are dying in this land. We don't have eternal life in this land. We have eternal life. It begins in us in this land, but we continue to live in the next land, and that is being with the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth. And we will have a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't want to get to all of that, but I want you to know that there are a lot of people who are not living. They're existing. They're just here in this earth. But to live is to live for Christ. And to die, as the Apostle Paul said, is gain. So that means that a person who really lives in this life is a person who has laid down their life for the cause of Christ. And we found that in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, which says, if any man will come after me, Jesus said, he must first deny himself. That means actually give up his life, give himself over to the things of God. He must first deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow Christ. So that is what we are talking about. We're talking about a life given over. And as we shared earlier, a committed life. You know, back in the 70s, we had we did something that most people looked down on at that particular time. And we entered into a time of ministry in which we call total commitment. And actually, the commitment is just commitment, period. But actually, we say it total commitment because we gave over everything that we had to do the will of God. Anything that we felt was blocking us or hindering us or doing anything of that sort. And let me say, we did some things wrong during that period of time in terms of methods and the way we did it. But it was not about all of our methods as much as it was about our attitude at that time. Our attitude was that we wanted to make sure that there was nothing in this physical world that was blocking us from being in the total will of Almighty God. And so we called it total commitment. And yes, we were degraded for it. We were ostracized. We were criticized. Our peers of that hour were saying that we were basically, and let me say it from this perspective, it's funny to me now, but that was 40 years ago, we were basically lunatics, insane. And that was during the time that they had the terror going out with the guy who was a little bit insane as far as I'm concerned, and that was Jim Jones. I know who he is, and believe me, I do. Jim Jones. And so we were, and you know, what happened to the episode there in Guyana, what happened with the people that they poisoned. And so because we had committed in the black community of doing that, nobody was really doing it in the black community, basically, except for people who were going full-time ministry in a church, but not an evangelistic ministry as of such. So therefore, and doing missionary work. Now, as I've shared with some of my white brothers and sisters, and I say it from this basis, not just because of the fact that I'm trying to divide races or anything. Well, you know, most people who've done that, who were missionaries, were accustomed to that. But as a black people, we were not accustomed to giving up things because we really never had anything in this country. I'm just going to be as candid and straight as I can with everybody today so you'll have an understanding of where we are coming from. And so we have maintain certain things. Most of the people who were in this evangelistic outreach and committed ministry had degrees or working on their degrees in college, or either they were accomplished people in some type of area, and they were working on being doctors and lawyers, communication specialists, and everything that you could name under the sun. And they own their own businesses. And while I got my wife in here, she's going to be on the broadcast today. So come on in, honey. Amen. Come on in, honey. We want you to talk because you were in this part of the ministry as well. And I want you to welcome my wife today because I recognize that we both at the same time, not literally at the same time, moved in this type of ministry, but we were both called to it. And she was a little bit later after I had gotten into it, and we were not married at that time, but we were affiliated with each other.
As best friends. Hi, everyone. Bless you. Love you.
This is my wife. Amen. So we're going to talk about this a little bit today because I think that it's time for us as, and you'll understand our ministry better as we begin to testify, and I minister to you out of the Word of God about the committed life.
Oh, right.
And so we just wanted to, we're going to talk, amen, as we minister today. I want you to really understand that our lives are basically committed to the total aspect of the gospel, and that is in everything that we do. It is about the gospel. It is about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my wife and I, as we committed years ago to this particular part of the ministry, we made up in our minds. And I want to say this today. We didn't get to this particular place in the last podcast, but I want to say this. I want to say this to you, that it is important in the body of Christ today that we understand.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We understand the importance. You can see it. We understand
yes.
the importance of why we do things in the ministry and why we do them the way we do it. As I shared earlier, it was not customary in the black community for most of the people to give up their things or the livelihood for the ministry. And so we were criticized, as I shared earlier, for the things that we did according to that because of the fact that we were committing our hearts and our minds fully over to the Lord. And
Amen.
So that was the method that we took at a particular time in the scriptures. We said that no man is left, and Jesus was talking about this in Mark chapter 10, that no man is left brother, sister, father, mother, and all of these things and all of the above only for his sake and the gospel. And it would not in this life receive the same back. And
Amen.
With houses and land, and also into life to come, a hundredfold, and then life to come, eternal life. So with that being in mind, we're going to talk from the book of Romans today, chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12 tells us concerning the ministry of the Apostle Paul is sharing with the Roman church. And he goes on by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God.
Yes.
See, and this is what sometimes we as believers have a hard time dealing with in terms of the overall ministry of the word to us, because we're always basically thinking a lot of times that if it's something that deals with our sin or a sins period, that is always referring to somebody else but not us. But I came to tell you today that the word of God is for us first and then to others who hear us, and secondly. So Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says that's the reasonable service first. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, mind. And then he goes on to say, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
And Paul is, and we're going to highlight some areas here. We're not going to read the whole entire chapter of Romans 12, but we're going to highlight some areas. And so he goes on to say in verse 6, that we move down to verse 6, just skip a couple. He says, having then gifts differing according to, let's start at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing with the people of God today earlier that a lot of times people locate themselves in the body of Christ by telling me who they are when they are not recognizing the fivefold ministry.
All right.
And that's taken in Ephesians chapter 4. And so, and I think around about verse 11 when Paul says, and these are the gifts of the, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers for the edifying of the body. And a lot of times we think that the body of Christ is just a pastor, a church, and a building, and that's it.
Yeah.
But that's not true. That's not the functioning parts of the body. The body is a government built of parts and offices by men who govern it. And the Bible says, and on this hangs all the law and the prophets, the apostles and the prophets who built the laws, who gave us the letters that we are reading today out of what we call the Word of God, and establish the government for the body of Christ to live by. These
yes.
are offices of the ministry. And so a lot of times people think that the ministry is just one area, but it's not. So we wanted to clear that up today. So he says that we all have many members in the body, but we don't all have the same office. So we being many are one in one body in Christ. And this is the whole purpose of us being as the body of Christ. And any body, it has functions and has a little toe, eye, or feet, or whatever.
Yes.
And all those things function together to make the body what it is. So here Paul is talking about that in the body. He says, so we being many, one in the body of Christ, every one member, one to another, and one of another. So what Paul is saying is that we function with the help of another.
Yes.
We can't function without ourselves. The eye can't do without the nose, and the nose can't do without the mouth, and the mouth can't do without the ears. And everything is in the body for a purpose.
Yes, sir.
And it all functions as one when it is used in the sequence of life. It's properly, it moves and it functions because it does what it's supposed to do in life. So the body is alive, it moves, and it's in existence. And I told you the only way we can live is earlier is that we know our purpose and our place in the body of Christ becoming born again. So he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, he said, let us prophesy. He goes on to say, and according to the proportion of faith, our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. In other words, there are a lot of people who are moving in the body of Christ who are trying to go beyond their faith and to do certain things that God has not given them the portions of faith to do.
Mm.
And now, I didn't say you couldn't increase your faith.
That's right.
And I didn't say that, and this is the purpose of us reading the Word of God today, so that our faith can be increased and that our ministry can move forward and grow.
Yes.
And so this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches, wait on his teaching. In other words, what he's saying is become seasoned. Become aware of what you're teaching. Don't just start teaching something as most people are doing in the body of Christ today and going out from tangents and no, there's no validity. There's no foundation. They have no control as
yes,
such.
Yes.
And they're like mavericks. Wow, moving around. We have a lot of mavericks in the body of Christ. In other words, they're not attached to the body. Now, they're not even in the body. As a matter of fact, they're just outside in the pasture eating and grazing on ground that is not even, basically, they don't want to be a part of the herd. They just want to be a part. They're like, I'm over here by myself, and I'm eating all the grass I can eat at. And no fellowship. In other words, how can a cow produce another cow if there's another cow around him? Come on, this is what I'm saying about that. I mean, there has to be a male and a female cow in order for another calf to come.
Yeah.
And so the same thing is in the body of Christ. You can't be by yourself. You can't isolate yourself. And I'm just talking about the committed life here. People have not committed themselves. First of all, we can't be committed to the Lord unless we commit first to one another.
All right.
I know a lot of people can say, you say, well, what do you mean, Brother Jerry? Jesus said in John, he said, if you are going to show me how much you love me, he said, I want you to show me by this. He said, and we know that we pass from death unto life.
Yes.
Because we love the brethren. And if we say we love the brethren, then as Jesus laid down his life for us,
so are
we also to lay down our lives for the brethren. You can't lay your life down for the brethren if you're not fellowshipping with the brethren.
Amen.
For the sisters.
Amen.
And so a lady told me the other day, she said to me, she says, I said, I love you. And she said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. And I said, I love you more. And she says, no, I love you more. And I said, well, maybe, yeah, okay, yeah. But then I started thinking about it. I said, you know what? The only way we can show greater love is that we want to lay down our lives for each other.
Yes.
That's commitment.
Yes.
And I love you regardless of what you do and who you are.
Amen.
I love you even if you are the worst of the worst. I love you if you're as we consider the worst of the sinners.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Now, that's really getting there thick there. Because we'll give our lives to somebody that we thought maybe we can give something back or get something back from them. But what about that person that can't do anything for us at all?
Yes.
Are we willing to lay down our lives for that person? That's commitment. And so what I mean by that is that there will be in the body of Christ, we have to be definitely committed. And then he says, those who are exhorted, let them wait on the exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. In other words, let him do it singly or simply. Don't do it because you want to be seen.
Yes.
Do it because you recognize that it is the right thing to do.
Thank you, Chief.
Give liberally. Don't just give with a little bit. Give, and so this is what we're talking about in commitment. Give it all.
All.
And that's what Jesus demanded. He said, if any man come after me in Matthew 16:24, he said, let him first deny himself. Deny him. Deny himself means deny himself. Deny himself means to give himself up. Deny himself means to give himself over. Deny himself means to there's no more self. That's what that really means. Self is gone.
Well, no more self would be then that we would go from the noun of the word commitment to the verb, the action, commit, meaning, as he just said, to give in charge. You let go. You place what you have in the trust of someone else.
Thank you.
And once you do that, once you really do that, you involve that person or other persons, or particularly in this case, you involve your life as one to God. And once you do that, once you make that great commitment, once you say, no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth within, and it's no longer where I want to go, what I want to do, how I want to do it, who I want to do it with, what I want to say, it is, Lord, as Isaiah said, send me, Lord, I'll go. Send me, Lord, I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to do. Well, now that takes commitment. Thereby brings it right back around to the noun, commitment. The noun, commitment. The promise. It's just like if we go back and we look in each of, and we have the all of the books of the Bible, there's a New Testament. You see, another word for commitment is testament. You can commit or you can testate. You can give that which you have unto God to be in charge of so that, and then you promise, you pledge it. I'm not taking it back. It's a done deal, Lord. It's a done deal. I release, I relinquish all these things to you, and I go forth and do what you would have me to do. But as a man of God, I go back a little bit earlier, as he said, but first you got to make sure that you know what you're saying and that you have received the knowledge that you need, not just, I mean, because when we first get saved, we, as the word of God says, oh, we take off in flight. We are on fire. We are running with that thing. But as we begin to get seasoned, and we're zealous, as he said, because we're so excited. We're saved. We're doing what God would have us to do. But then there comes a time where I've got to sit down and I've got to be taught. Well, there's some things that you were taught before then, but it wasn't enough that you need to be able to go by really and to give that true witness, that true understanding to others, such as you all that are listening now, so that people will know, okay, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to live it and do it. And commitment means living that life.
With that being said, and you heard me say on the last podcast, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, that Jesus laid out his life for us. He gave his life once and for all so that you and I could have this opportunity to show our commitment as he showed here. He gave his very life. Not only did he show his life in the living aspect of this world, but he also gave his physical life as well. So he laid down his life for us. And as I shared earlier in the podcast, which is easier? Dying or the laying down of your living life.
Yes.
Your living life, and living in this life is dying to yourself, is a job and a task. Because
Amen.
Every day it requires new territory.
Oh, right.
So when you get up tomorrow, you're going to have to live right.
Yes, sir.
That costs something.
Mm-hmm.
It costs you dying to yourself.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of people are afraid to die to themselves because of the peer pressures I shared earlier. Everybody is doing it, so why can't I? Everybody is doing it, so why won't I? And so God says, no, we don't want you to do it that way. That's what he told the children of Israel when they were asking him, we want a king. He says, I'm your king. They said, no, we want a king. You don't understand. We want a king like other nations.
Yeah,
and so he
here we
said,
go. Want to be like
so he,
everybody else.
He said, then it's not that we want to be like Mike, but I mean, you know, he just said, and I'm just saying that. And God bless you, Michael Jordan. If you ever hear this, God bless you. And if you're not living a committed life, I pray that you do, and God will save you, deliver you, whatever. If that's the case, but I don't mean that in bad respect of Nike and anybody else. I'm just saying that they wanted to be like other nations.
Yeah.
They did not want to be what God had assigned them to be or called them to be in the earth. They didn't want to live that. They didn't want to lay down their living lives for the cause of Christ, of the cause of God at that particular time, who was Yahweh.
Amen.
Because he wanted them to be examples in the earth. And so with that, you know, when we do that, not only do we give our lives, we're not giving our lives for ourselves. We're laying out our lives for the body of Christ. in the Bible, Christ, and the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth,
yes,
according to the effectual working in the measure of every, we talked about a few minutes ago, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Yes.
And so what with the way we work that, the way the body functions as a part of the body, as we are part of the body of Christ, we work together in love. That's why Jesus' disciples said, well, how will all men know that we are your disciples? He said, if we have love.
Love.
See, that, those are the parts coming together.
Yes.
One for another. So there's no mixture. There is no separation or division, supposedly, in the body of Christ. Your body is not divided.
Mm-mm.
If your body was divided or my body was divided, then our body wouldn't function properly.
It's just
impossible.
Impossible.
If the arm is trying to be the leg and the leg is trying to be the arm, and the ears are trying to be the eyes, and the eyes are trying to be the ears, and the mouth is trying to be the nose, and that's not going to work. Something
that's,
is that.
That's messed up.
Somebody would call them. Somebody would say, that's
come
a monster.
Yes, yeah. There we go.
And then anything
go.
That's it's a monstrosity of sorts. You know, in other words, different parts that were selected to do certain things by design are trying to do something else outside of that. And therefore, now they're not functioning properly.
Yes.
And so they're divided. The body of Christ is not divided.
Amen.
Everything that God has done for you and me, it has been by design. And we've been designed. As the earlier writer said, if we're going to minister, wait on our ministry. If we're going to do certain things, we've got to do it, as the book of Romans says, according to how God has set it in order for those things to work.
Yes.
Now,
oh,
in
yeah.
Romans chapter 12, in the last part of that verse, and he goes on in the last section of that, there was a few verses now we're going to cover, and then we're going to close on that. He goes on to talk about, he says, let love be without dissimulation. See,
yes.
What he was dealing with is the people that rule it, let them do it with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And this is in verse 8. Verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't be divided.
Mm.
Abhor that which is evil. And in other words, hate it.
Yeah.
Cleave to that which is good. In other words, make that the apple of your eye.
Thank you.
And then he goes on to say, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
With the love that you'd have for your own brother and sister in the natural. And I'm talking about when all things being evil, because sometimes we have rivalries, and that's not, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the affectionate love that you have for somebody who is your brother and sister,
yes,
in the natural sense. But all things being even and everything being realistic. Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
So now listen. He says in verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints,
yes,
giving the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep.
Yes.
Be of the same mind, as I shared with you on one podcast, let's homogenize.
Yes.
Let's synthesize.
Yes.
You know, be of the same mind. In other words, homogenization is blending together the people in the confession saying the same thing. And then he goes on to say, mind not high things, but condescend to men of lower state.
Yes.
Be not wise in your own conceit.
Mm-hmm.
Listen now. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. And he goes on to talk about that. You just read it on down. You can read the rest of that. But look, let's know that the body of Christ is not divided.
Not
so with our lives being committed, we're committed to the body of Christ. As I share with you in the book of Ephesians, we're committed to the whole body being fitly joined together and compacted within itself and loving each other in the body,
yes,
loving every part for what the part does. As a friend of mine said once, he gave an example. He said that he was questioned about, was he a part of the body of Christ? And he said that he was considered as being the big toe. And, you know, sometimes the big toe doesn't get much coverage. Well, let me put it this way. The big toe gets a lot of coverage. As a matter of fact, he's never seen. But he has a purpose. Somebody said, well, what is the purpose of the big toe? Well, my friend placed it like this. He said, you know what? He said, now, my big toe is not seemingly important at times. He said, but when I get ready to take a bath, he said, I was taught that if that water is real hot, just stick your toe, big toe in it. And if the big toe tells you that it's hot, don't get in. Amen. And so what I'm saying is the big toe has a purpose. So
yeah.
We all have a purpose in the body of Christ. And our commission is to one another,
yes.
to serve one another.
You,
even
Jesus.
As it was in the book of Acts when God says that, oh, my handmaidens and my maidens will I do this thing. In other words, in Acts 2 and 18, where he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your servants and handmaidens and those who give themselves up to another to the will of God, well, your sons and daughters will prophesy. He went on to talk about that. But he was talking about people who were given over,
yes.
who were committed. And
thank
that's
you.
What committed means, to be given over.
Thank you, Hallelujah.
Being fully persuaded. Now, look, in the body of Christ, there are some things that you and I are going to have to do. It's important to spend, first of all, time in the Word of God.
Yes.
Second of all, not just for others, but we have to spend time in the Word of God for ourselves. And so we can enable ourselves to lay down our lives consistently every day. Now, listen, we've got to come before the Lord as if we were coming for his very throne in this natural sense.
Yes, sir.
How do we do that? We become fully persuaded. How do you become fully persuaded? In Romans chapter 4, verse 21, listen to what he says. He says this. This is one of our prayers that we pray daily. Listen to what he says at the Robinson household. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. But in verse 22, but verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, we're persuaded that this word is real. It's true.
Yes,
it's not.
Yes,
it's nothing
sir.
About this word that's not true. Everything that the God has spoken to us through these letters that the apostles wrote and the prophets, like I told you earlier, the law was established by the prophets and the apostles. And so we read these laws, especially in the Old Testament, by the prophets, and in the New Testament, by the apostles.
Yes.
And so now we recognize that these letters have become law, and that they have become the principles in which we live by, as they wrote to the body of Christ. The Bible says, men inspired by the Spirit of God to write things that were given to them so that they could impart them to you and I.
Thank you, Jesus.
About everyday living, practical living. They were writing to the churches about practical everyday life.
Oh, yeah.
How to live a committed life. And so God wrote us 66 books, and some with others, and others have more books. Catholic book has more, but that's the fine. That's another story. So we're not going to talk about that. What we're talking about is every word that was given by the inspiration of the Lord is profitable for living, for you and me.
Yes.
And so he says here in this thing in Romans chapter 4, well, let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19, and then we'll see a little bit about what God is really saying about the committed life.
And
so therefore we're going to cover just a little bit. We're going to try to work sure we finish as much of this today as we can. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. Listen what the Apostle John says to us. He says it like this. He says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him. In other words, assure there means persuade.
Yes.
We are persuaded by God that who we are and whose we are is what we do.
Uh-huh.
And so the Apostle John says that we are persuaded. What are we persuaded for? We are persuaded because we're giving our hearts over to him.
Thank you, Chief.
That the Lord is first in our lives. And so there's now that comes to this. What persuasion am I coming to now? This is the persuasion. We're talking about settling things. We're going to talk about settling things today.
Yes. All right.
When I came into the body of Christ, I shared my testimony a little bit this afternoon or this morning, about my persuasion. When the Spirit of God came into my life, finally, after all the time I was seeking him, I said to my friends who were with me that day, after the experience, and while we were praising God, going to our sanctuary, I said, I am not going to turn back.
Yes. All right.
And as I recorded that, as I shared on with the message this morning, that was 40 years ago. And I'm still standing today, you and I.
Thank you, Jesus.
You hear my voice. I was persuaded at that moment that I was going to follow Christ for the rest of my life.
Yes, Lord.
And so forever, certain things have to be settled in your life and in your ministry if you minister in terms of your commitment.
Yes.
One of the first things you're going to have to settle after you make that persuasion is you're going to have to settle your calling. Now, sometimes people never discover what their calling is in life. And it's a sad thing because most people live their lives miserably because they've never discovered their calling.
Yes.
And then some people who have discovered their calling are trying to explain to others consistently what their calling is. And just without doing that, all you need to do is show them what your calling is. Let your life speak for you. The next thing you need to, and when I had to settle it, I had to settle my calling in the body of Christ.
Right.
And then I also had to settle the fact that what my role was with my family. If you're a woman, you need to know your role. If a man, you need to know your role. If you're a child, you need to understand your role. And a lot of people, and the reason why we're having dysfunctional families today is because people don't know their roles in the family.
That's it.
The reason why we're having a dysfunctional body of Christ
That's it.
Is because people don't know their roles in the body of Christ.
That's right.
And so how you're going to function properly in a society and be an example to a lost world if you're not being what you're supposed to be in your area of calling?
That's it.
You don't know your role. You can't function properly in it. If a boy is trying to be a girl and a girl is trying to be a boy and a woman is trying to be a man and a man is trying to be a woman, we got some confusion going on here.
Yes.
And some of you all know what I'm talking about without me saying certain things about what I'm talking about when I say confusion and boys being girls and girls being boys. Come
yes.
on now. And
oh,
so
yes.
therefore, and so if that's in the natural, what about in the body of Christ? If people are out of their place, how can God do anything with us? How can
That's
he
right.
use something out of its place?
Yes.
You can't, and I can't. Even if we wanted to do something that we wanted to use, we couldn't use it out of its place. So we got to settle the fact that certain things are what they are. If you're going to sell that, you got to sell in your family to your wife or your husband. You got to sell it to your children. And who's first place? Jesus.
That's it. Jesus. Oh, yes.
And when I did in the 70s, let me tell you something. Now, I'm going to say this today on the air. Sometimes being persuaded and settling things about your place can cause a lot of confusion among people that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Sad to say, sometimes you would think that people will be with you when you find out that they're not really with you.
That's right.
Even in your own family.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I found that out.
Uh-huh.
That I said, hey, when I really became fully persuaded that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I went and told all of my family, and they said, oh, really? They said, does it take all of that?
Mm.
They said, you've lost your mind.
Yes.
I said, well, I'm just persuaded. They said, yeah, but you don't have to be that persuaded that you would go do all the things that you've done, like giving up your possessions and stuff to be a missionary and follow Christ. You don't have to do all of that.
Yeah.
And I was misunderstood.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Some of you who are doing that now, some of you are so persuaded. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's a right way to do things. But let me tell you something. There's only one right way to commit, and that's commit, give yourself up.
Yes.
and
surrender.
And so what happened was when I did that, and others of you who have done it, you were misunderstood. Now, you would have thought that that would cause everybody to have a celebration. They would give you one of these big parties and everything, and they would celebrate with you. But when you find out that when you're really committed, they excommunicate you. They push you away. And I'm telling you, some of you are doing that today. Let me give you a classic example. See, some of us think that being committed, and it's for some reason, some of you had a good time, and God, you were accepted and embraced.
Yes.
But I'm talking to the people who were not.
Yes.
I'm talking to the people who are like Hebrews, who have been Orthodox all their lives. I'm talking to you today, you Hebrew brothers and sisters of mine.
Yes.
You Jewish brothers and sisters of mine.
Thank you, Jesus. When
you told everybody that you had accepted Yeshua as Lord and Savior in your family, they excommunicated you and cut you off and told you that you were insane and that you had lost your mind. I feel you today. I want you to know that it is not anything wrong with you, and that you are not psychologically misordered or disordered. You have made the right decision.
Yes.
I want to encourage you today, as a man of God, that you did the right thing, even though your people excommunicated you and said that you had no right to do that. I want to encourage you today that Jesus is still the same Jesus.
Yes.
He said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword.
Yes, he did.
And in his own house, the Bible says in John chapter 1, he said, he came unto his own. Now here is the Lord Jesus himself coming to his own people. And the Bible says he was rejected and his own received him not.
Mm-hmm.
His own people.
Oh, yes.
So he understands rejection.
Yes.
He understands denial. He understands how people do in this life. So the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So I'm talking to those of you who made a commitment today, and you were rejected.
Yes.
It's not always that lovey-dovey story about when I became saved and everybody was saying, yay! No. There's a commitment that comes sometimes, and it's so much persecution and being ridiculed about it until you just can't seem to take the pain.
Yes.
It hurts.
Oh, yes, especially if you came from an area where people may not have, a lot of your family may have been in a different form of religion or just in a religious state of mind, not truly understanding that it goes beyond just merely receiving Christ or being baptized, that it goes into the level of getting into his word and allowing his word to get in you. And once you do that, to become so in tune and knowledgeable of God's words and the word, and when you begin to tell someone else, well, the word of God says this, they'll say, well, that was back then. That's not for today. And then you go on and say, well, God's word will say that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Then they go, well, you don't understand. Or you're coming from a different area where maybe you might have been from a family that basically